and welcome to Drinking During Business Hours.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
What happened there? What was that all
I
about?
I wanted to change it up. I don't want to get redundant. You know, we got to keep it fresh.
I know, but the hey, hey, you know, like this, a trademark
with an element of surprise. How you doing,
Boom.
Honey?
I'm good. You woke up next to me. How do you think I am?
Well, I don't know. How's that going?
Well, it's so far so good. Not tired of it yet.
I do wake up earlier than you.
Yes, you do.
Exponentially earlier.
I don't want to say you wake up early, but it's still the day before.
Yeah, I'm an early riser. I've been doing this Pilates immersion, which I have quickly formed an aversion.
To the immersion?
6:30 a.m. every morning for like the past 45 days.
And you've been killing it and it shows.
Man, does
and...
it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it does. It's sort of like the, I feel like I'm strapping myself into a wooden electric chair every morning.
They look like it,
don't
they? It's
like decrepit and it squeaks and it's like, and I would do it willingly. I put every limb in and I strap myself in. And I'm just, waiting for them to turn on the switch.
They remind me of the medieval rack that they would put you on and then stretch you.
I'm elongating.
That's exactly what
it's torture. But hey, at least we're drinking.
At least we're drinking. How is your wine?
It's pretty.
It should be pretty lovely. Darn good.
We're drinking one of the very best wines in the world. It's this interesting area from Washington State called Red Mountain.
Tonight we are drinking, for our listeners' enjoyment, a wine a lot of them probably are not familiar with. It's called Clipson with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the Cabernet that we're drinking. And this is from Washington State, Red Mountain AVA. And this vintage we're drinking is the 2017.
Ooh,
which
17.
Is
fancy.
Yeah, which is about it's about 92% Cabernet, about 8% Merlot, and it is...
And a lot of cacao.
A lot of cacao.
Cacao!
Right out of the act.
Cacao! I get cacao.
And it is opulent and rich and huge and bold. And this is not an expensive wine.
This is
over 100 a bottle.
And we weren't supposed to drink this. We said we were going to drink something else this week, but we had an open bottle.
We called an audible.
Yeah, so...
So tonight
decision.
We're drinking Clipson Cabernet
from Washington State, and it's incredible, as is our guest.
Who is our guest this week?
Oh, we have a good one.
Yes, we do.
I'm really excited. Our guest is not only a very, very talented and funny comedian,
right?
And reality television star.
And animal activist.
Oh, yes, animal activist, all the things, but she's also a prolific entrepreneur.
Yes, she is.
I mean, so impressive.
Yes.
This week we have the one and only.
The one and only.
The one and only, Katie Cazorla.
Woo!
Yes.
Oh,
Katie.
God, you guys.
Katie.
Welcome to Drinking During Business Hours.
Thank you.
Thanks for being
Thanks
on the
for
show.
Being here.
You guys, listen, as I said earlier when I took a sip of this wine, I mean, the wine is spectacular. You guys are spectacular. But what's even better is I would have driven here and done this podcast for a $2 bottle of wine, but this just sweetens the
pot. you really, we've been hanging out and drinking a lot of wine lately, Katie.
Oh my
and,
gosh, we really have.
Yes, Katie and me.
Well, because you would and, say me drink a lot of wine. Or
yeah,
I drink
Katie,
a lot.
Yeah,
right.
Katie and me.
Katie and I.
Yeah, Katie and I. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I know that you have a good palate. I mean, you just do. So I don't think you would be drinking Two Buck Chuck.
I mean,
you know?
Here's the thing. When everybody was going crazy over Two Buck Chuck, I remember thinking, well, I'm going to try it. And I'd never been to Trader Joe's just because the parking scares me.
Right.
So I went into Trader Joe's and I was like, oh, this is a fun place. And then I bought Two Buck Chuck. When I opened it and I was like, this is a fucking joke, right? Oh, wait, can we swear?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes, please.
Oh, sorry, I swear.
Way to go, Katie. Now we're canceled.
Anyway, so I opened it, I smelled it, and I was like, oh, maybe it needs to like air out, you know, like really just aerate. And it just was always
It doesn't
terrible.
Aerate.
No, it needs to be thrown out.
Yeah, it's like balsamic vinegar to
and
me.
It's just undrinkable.
I this is true. My dad and his whole family, you know, are from Mérignac in Bordeaux.
Right.
Love that.
He was born in Algeria, grew up in Morocco. So he's got this really fun, exotic-y sort of tastes. And there's no way having a father whose family lives in Bordeaux
yes.
would be ever be able to justify drinking Tubac Chuck.
That's fascinating.
And you want to know the travesty? The travesty is Tubac Chuck is now $3.
Is it really?
Oh,
inflation.
It's $3.
So it's $3 Chuck.
Now it's $3 Chuck.
Paying $3 for Tubac Chuck.
I won't take
no.
You pay $3 for $2 wine.
You know,
that's a bamboozle if I ever heard of one.
You know, glass.
Listen, I gotta
cork.
Say, I mean, I love wine. I drink wine every single day.
Good for you. We love that. We love that.
That's why you have really nice skin.
I love it.
Thank
you. The tannins.
I love that.
I always say they don't put grapeseed and for anti-aging into products for no reason.
Right, exactly.
So thank you. I drink my anti-aging. But no, it's actually true. When there's studies that come out and they say, you know, when people drink wine in moderation, which I don't even know what that means, but like when you left
it's
your
Coravin. Five bottles a day
a
is
lot
moderation.
Of half glasses.
Oh my gosh.
I left my Coravin at one of our tastings.
At the club, and I was like, oh my gosh, Sarah has a Coravin.
I know that surprises people.
I was like, come on.
A Coravin is like a when you don't drink the whole bottle. So.
Right.
And it's like a fine needle that you inject into the cork and you can't even tell, and the wine will last because you don't actually open.
It's argon gas gets shot into the bottle. I'm on my third Coravin, and I have the digital
He's
Coravin
really fancy.
That you can actually run from your
it.
Phone, and it tells you how many sips or pours you in. Oh,
I can't figure it out. I'm afraid of it.
Yeah.
I'm digital.
I have a digital Coravin, believe it
or not.
I
mean, that's, you are hardcore.
I am.
That's hardcore.
Really pretty sick.
And, you know, we got gifted a Coravin a long time ago when it, like, first came out.
Right.
I want to say maybe 5 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
Something like that. 5 years ago. And I remember we went to this food and wine festival, and my show was running, Second Wives Club. And they were like, oh my God, we think you guys are like the most down to earth. And I'm like, that's because we're messy. So like, you can't hide mess, you know? So, and I like to drink. I like drinks. I love good cocktails. I love wine. And so they're like, we would love to gift you a Coravin. It's this new thing. And I took it home to Walter. And he was like, what's that scary needle? And I was like, well, if we want to open a really nice bottle of wine, but we only want to drink, you know, two glasses out of it. And he was like, when the fuck have we ever done that? So we still have the Coravin, and it's still sitting in the package that they gave you with all the little pellets.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
But now it's at the club.
Well, you never know if you have to open
a couple good things you can
bottle.
Do with it at the club.
Yeah.
One of them is, if you wanted to, now I have always had a dream of opening a wine bar.
Oh, you should.
Got a name and a concept and a whole thing. I know where I want to do it with the food. I have it all on paper.
You could do it at my mall, by the way, because guess what? A million people a month walk through there. There's no wine bar.
Well,
and they have outdoor stuff all the time.
Right.
And the space is
at Hollywood.
$1,000 a month.
That's it?
Yep. And a beer and wine permit you can get in.
Beer and wine is easier. Days. It's not full liquor.
Trust me.
And well, so I've always had this concept. And before the Coravin was out, when I started coming up with this, I had this thing that we'll open any bottle on the menu for you as long as you buy two glasses before the Coravin came out. Then the Coravin hit the market and you could just Coravin a glass out of any bottle at all. So you could put that on your menu if you want to offer up fancy schmancy stuff at, you know, that isn't on the buy the glass.
Wine kegerator things now too where you can put them in and
pour. Yes.
But,
that Coravin's also, and it's that also uses argon gas,
yeah,
so it protects
pretty,
the bottle.
My dream is to have that in our house.
Yeah.
But again,
not cheap.
I know, but Walter's like, when have we ever just.
Not, yeah, exactly.
Like, but then you could have Bordeaux, Cali, Washington,
bottle.
Burgundy. You can have four or five bottles hooked up.
Oh, yeah.
And you could just whatever
champagne.
You want. Yeah.
A Sassicaia, you know.
I love Sassicaia.
Petrus. Why not?
Oh,
just go
my
for
God.
It.
Yeah.
Are you an Italian wine fan? Do you like Italian wines?
Okay, so I like some.
Right.
Very few.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people who say, oh, we go to the Great Greek And they're like, we have these great Greek wines. And I'm like, and I don't want to be like a dick, but I'm like, Greek wine.
I'm going to turn you on to some Greek wines.
Katie's right. They don't have very many varietals to choose.
Yeah. Right.
And like they have Santorini and...
Asiertko, okay. Which is one of the most produced whites in Greece.
Oh, really?
Right. And when they're made well, they are really, really beautiful. Yes.
Can you go help their wine program?
Greece, they've really stepped it up in the past 10, 15 years.
I don't know a lot about Greek wine,
but
I have to admit.
I have some beautiful Greek wines in the cellar.
Really?
Oh, I've got...
change my mind, I dare
you. I've got a Greek red. Okay. That I keep putting off opening. I've got two different vintages of this wine that when I first tasted it, it was at a blind tasting at the old Wally's in Westwood.
Really?
I tasted this wine and he said, what do you think this is? I said, well, that's $100 Napa cab for sure. No question about it. It was opulent, rich, and ridiculous.
No way.
He pulled it out of the bag. It was $35. It was from Greece and it's... four different grapes,
mm-hmm.
and it was insane.
That's bananas.
Insane. And I've got two different vintages of it, and I would be happy to open it with you.
That's what I love about wine.
We need a date night for that.
That's
we
what really
I
do
please
need a date
do
night.
That.
Yes.
Walter like, will provide any sort of beautiful acoustic musical accompaniment to that.
We will play for you guys. We've talked about Walter and I will actually play for the two
while,
of you.
While you and I,
yes.
We hold our umbrellas.
And Walter and I, we'll be jamming. We'll be jamming.
I mean,
they
interpretive dance if you want.
Yeah,
have you guys been
play the guitar.
To Augustine in Sherman Oaks?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, is that still open?
I don't. That's a good question. A friend of mine used to be one of the partners, but I know he took a buyout.
Oh, he did.
Matt.
Matt. I don't know what's
who's
happening
there. Who's the one
there.
Whose grandma had left him all the wines? He was from like upstate New York. He was kind of like...
I don't know. That might have been his partner.
That
but
was his partner.
They started in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a great little spot.
Right.
And then they had Mirabelle or something. Yeah, I think Mirabelle or something with that name in North Hollywood, Toluca Lake area.
Right.
I met
something with them
with
when I was trying to get the wine bar open. I actually met with this guy from Augustine. At Augustine, we had a meeting.
It was such a cute place with the little vintage piano.
And
he liked it.
It was vibes.
And
it was
always packed. And they had beautiful wines.
Oh my God, you could get a glass, a $55 glass. Of
yes.
Them. We got
Margaux.
He had everything.
Everything.
And he would open
it. He kept it fresh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
The chalkboard with all
the... Uh-huh. I loved Augustine.
But then COVID happened. I don't think...
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But that place is
we'll
still
have to
there,
look into it.
Sitting there, and I'm kind of like intrigued. And then I saw the one up is now up for lease. But they want, I think, 21 or 23 grand a month.
But I love how you're always looking, and I just so let's
get
right to it because it's so exciting what you're doing.
Ugh.
You are about to open a luxury comedy club / music club.
Yeah,
and it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. Ugh. It's really
and so.
Really
tell us about it. What was the inspiration? Where are you with it? Just
it's this is like I compare it to like let's say I was super excited to get pregnant. And I did. And then the pregnancy just kept going on. And I was like, when is this fucking baby coming? And then by the time I deliver it, it's Damien from The Omen. And I just want to like, kick it off a cliff.
Oh, my God.
Literally.
I think I know what our teaser is this week.
That was it right there.
It's like, this is the worst baby ever. But no, it was one of those things where I walked. I looked. This is kind of crazy. So I was doing shows at another club, and I would look at my paycheck, and I would think, how am I selling 150 tickets on a Wednesday night at 10 o'clock consistently every Wednesday? It would either be like 160, 130, 150, and I had all headliners every Wednesday. And plus, and then I would give people that the club wouldn't book, I would then put them in and give them shots, you know, to get in there. And it was a really fantastic show, right? And...
I was in it.
Yep,
it was great.
It. Yep.
Thank you.
And
yeah.
I just was like, how are my checks like $150 or $200? And I'd be like,
Well, yeah. Katie, that is all you earned this year.
Very, very accurate. Yeah. Yes. And it was like, well, don't poke the bear. Your show might get canceled. And I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, please.
So then no, once I left, it was like, this is bullshit. I noticed that the Wednesday night has been a constant struggle with them. Because, yeah, Wednesday night's at 10 o'clock. I would love to see an independent producer, especially a woman, pack a room. But, you know, I did. So yes, I thought about it. And instead of crying and being sad that all, you know, I worked so hard to build the show up and my reputation, I just thought, what if I know how to run businesses. I ran a lot of businesses, opened them from the ground up at restaurants, everything. And I thought, what if I just take all the shit I've learned my whole life and opened my own comedy club?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thought I was insane. They're like, there's no way you can compete with Laugh Factory or Improv or Comedy Store. It's a fraternity, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, cool. We should change that then.
Yeah.
And then I had like literally probably like not even $1,000 in my bank account. And I went to Ovation Center. They were in the middle of their rebrand. The right. Roosevelt Hotel bought it. It was kind of a dated sort of shitty outdoor mall that could have been amazing. It just was past its prime. Yeah. You remember it when they first opened it?
The Hollywood Highland?
Yeah, Hollywood Highland. Of course. It was like cool and fun. And then it just very turned cool. into like just an outlet mall. It was horrible. So then the Roosevelt bought it, put $110 million in the renovation. But before that was happening, they had the old grill space sitting there, the grill on Hollywood.
Right.
The grill in the alley is the
other one. Right.
And which is closing, by the way.
Yes.
What?
Grill in the alley, Beverly Hills.
How do Sayonara you know that?
Chari.
Wait,
it was in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. I watched the whole Spectrum News thing about him and how fabulous it is and all the stories. What happened? Just that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay,
so.
My God. So
sorry, I didn't.
Every time I'm there, by the way, every time I'm at the grill on the alley, my life gets made. Like, I'll see someone, and I'll get to talk to or shake hands with like some celebrity that I've like. It's all, and they're all over 70.
Oh my God.
It's like Carol Burnett and Bob Newhart, Don Rickles when he was alive. It's like all old people, but.
That is, oh my God, Don Rickles is the ghost in our new club, by the way. I know it for a fact. Oh, it's haunted.
That's hilarious.
Something going on in there. But anyways, so I went in and I put together a business plan.
Right.
And it was like kind of like low budge because I'm like, I don't know what this is going to cost. It's, and the space is already existing and everything's in here. And they loved it. Wow. And they said, here's how we'll give you the space. You have to throw us a show for the whole leasing team, the HR department, everybody who's in charge of specialty leasing, the partners. And I said, done.
Right.
Yeah.
So easy. I got like Craig Robinson, Jonathan Kite, Jack Jr.,
right.
the best.
Jeff Dye, all these people to do the show. And the funny thing is it had to be sort of clean comedy because the you know, it was a whole
corporate, yes.
And Jeff Dye didn't get the memo.
I was about to say, Jeff Dye was on a clean show.
No, dirty comics. Jack Jr. too.
Oh, yeah,
not really.
They all did like you know, like a good, like a small sort of clean set.
Oh,
but I
good
forgot
for them.
To include Jeff Dye on that memo. And so he starts talking about like.
Oh, he literally didn't get the memo.
Oh, wow.
He didn't get the memo.
Not figuratively.
He's great. Like, he literally will do whatever. He's great. And so when he did not get, he wasn't on the chain that I sent out, like, hey, you guys, try not to be like, you know, sucking a dick and things like that. Like, just be like, you know, kind of clean. You can still say like shit and whatever. Well, he started talking about doing porn, right? On his computer during COVID, which was also like church where he watched his home church. And he was like, I don't know. And it was this whole joke and everyone's like crying, laughing. And I look over this one lady from the HR department's like,
oh, well, no. You know?
But I mean, secretly one of them did DM him that night and said, I just thought I'd reach out and shoot my shot. So, I mean, the next day,
wow,
they said, we loved you and gave me the keys.
That was it. They
That's
just wanted
it.
A show. Yep. They wanted
they gave
a
you the
show.
Tiki bar.
They gave me, oh yeah, I love tiki bars, by the way. But
I
yeah,
do
they
too.
Gave it to me. They gave it to me and, you know, and then the process started of what I didn't think was going to happen, which was how hellish LA is for real. I've gone through it, but this with having a Type 47, like full liquor license
right.
has been
That's
hell.
Been really,
hell
yeah.
On earth.
It's not easy. There's only a limited amount of them that they issue.
Yeah.
So sometimes you actually have to wait for an establishment to close to free up a liquor license.
Yeah, I won mine in the lottery.
That's another, that's about to say, the other way
but
they do
I
it.
But I won the right to buy one.
Right.
So it's not like it's like, good for you. You won and you paid all this money and now you get to open. It's like, no, you won the right to buy one.
Now it's $200,000 for the liquor license.
Wow. Yeah, and here's the thing. It's taken so long that I had to pay for it twice. So I had to pay the seller while the money I paid a year and a half ago is still sitting in escrow.
Oh, shit.
It's been like, that's why I told you, it really is a nightmare, baby. I am an elephant and it's been 14 months of pregnancy and I'm ready.
It's like to cesarean.
Get this hell baby out. Yeah, just let her out. But yeah.
Well, anything we can do to help you.
I mean, man, I say, you know, we're going to be late, but it'll be worth the wait. So I just.
It is going to be worth the wait. It's, I've done a couple walkthroughs with you. You've been so hospitable and showing me, and it's the absolute most beautiful space I've ever seen.
It's beautiful.
For a comedy club. It's beautiful. And
it's like a dream that was in my head that just, I had this dream and I was like, I met with one designer. He was over $1 million to work with and I couldn't own the rights to the design. And I was like, and I couldn't even use pictures of my own club. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I have good taste and I should just do what I want.
Right.
I always feel Agreed. Like I do stuff that is for everyone. But this time around, I was like, fuck it. This is my club.
This is yours.
Right.
And I want to be proud when I walk through to know that I picked that out. I built this. I did this. The whole flow of it, the lighting, every single thing there. I mean, I probably never want to do this again as long as I live. I'd rather have a geriatric pregnancy at this point.
Tell our listeners the awesome name you've chosen.
Yes. How did you come up with it and what's the name?
So it has a meaning. I look it up I know.
Thank you. A lot of people are like, ooh, what's a cookie berry? And I'm always like, okay, whatever. Why don't you just call it Katie's? No, because I'm not, I always feel weird putting my name on things. And I thought, what can I do that would be just kind of just memorable and crazy? And when I was little, my mom used to sing this song to me, Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. And I loved it, you know, about laughing. A kookaburra bird is a laughing bird.
Right.
And when you hear it laugh, it sounds like a person. And I have a scratchy voice, so I sound like a kookaburra bird. Like, I'm like the real life Peppermint Patty. Like, I hate Chuck. I am that. So I thought, you know what? I'm going for it. It's going to be called the Kookaburra Lounge. And the initials are TKL, Tickle. So I thought, you know, it's meant to be.
It was meant to be. That's
kismet.
It's like
vintage Great birds name. Everywhere.
Yes.
Our last call sound is the kookaburra bird. So you'll know when it's time to leave.
And it's beautiful. It has a beautiful big stage.
I want to hear it. I want to hear the kookaburra.
It's so warm and it's amazing. And I'll keep talking while you pull that
out.
Oh,
yeah.
So we don't have any
Most importantly, and it's, you know, because that's really lacking in the comedy community where the clubs, the owners, the proprietors of these clubs, comedians do not feel respected.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's paid like pennies.
You get paid
pennies.
People don't realize.
I owe money. Pennies. When I leave.
Yeah.
And we're generating so much revenue for them.
Oh, and that's the other thing. So when I ran the real numbers, because I thought, okay, well, if I sell 150 tickets, which isn't a large room, and I do that consistently Wednesday nights, and I know what the numbers were, what they were pulling in on $30 to $40 tickets. And what the comics were paid, $35.
It's so.
And then when I was paid, I was like, oh my. And but, they make food and beverage too. I was like, right. Wait, yeah. What? Yeah.
I mean, without naming names.
Millions.
Right.
Yes.
But without naming names, we all know, and people in the comedy community know, that this particular club owner just happens to be.
All of them, though.
Here's the thing. It's not just one.
I did a show at a comedy club. I'm not going to say what it's called, but it's in Burbank in the San Fernando Valley. And you go in and you perform for them. They give you nothing.
Wait, it's free?
Nothing.
I mean, that's like
they don't even give you a beverage, not a drink ticket.
And there's no longer a comedian's discount.
And there's not a comedian's discount.
So there used to be.
Let me tell you guys something. So when you, let's say you're booked on
maybe
South
Hollywood,
right?
Right.
If you're booked on a show at the Kookaburra, not only do we comp your valet so you can go in and out and do the other clubs easily, so
right.
You're not like stressed out trying to find parking and getting to your set, you pull right onto Orange Court. You don't even have to go down into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
You get escorted by security right up to the club. You have your own entrance, your own private bathroom, dressing room. Plus, we have a speakeasy green room that is just for the comics backstage.
That bar is gorgeous.
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 Wine. And your drinks are comps.
It is gorgeous.
You don't pay for booze. I mean, you're not going to be ordering 1942 or whatever, but right. still, you know that even our well and call drinks are top of the line.
Right.
Those are the $16 to $18 drinks at every other club, and they're free because you're providing the energy.
We're helping. Yes.
And
I agree.
Under $100, by the way. None. That is so criminal to not even give, like, to me, why would a comic that's as big as, let's say, I don't know, someone like Orny Adams or Lisa Ann Walter or
Craig Robinson, or
why do they have to leave LA to make money?
Yeah.
It's always been
all
like that. I mean,
yeah.
it's
because
always...
Because it's a bro code. It is a fraternity, and it's so funny. A club reached out to me once I announced our opening, and we got chosen to be part of Netflix as a joke. And
congratulations.
Like,
yes,
you,
big.
That solidified my... It, like, validated why I did this.
Right.
And they loved the whole premise and what I stood for and, like, just really, really being more inclusive and comic-friendly. And it was kind of funny. Somebody else reached out to me. They're like, well, welcome to the fraternity. And I said, well, I think it's called a sorority now.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, they always just, the landscape. It's always just been the answer. You were like, why do you have to leave town if you want to make money? And the answer has always been, well, you're in L.A. So if you get to do stage time in L.A., you could be seen. So by a producer or a casting person.
I mean, that is true.
So this is a showcase town as opposed to if I go on the road and I'm on the road for 3 weeks, I can make $2,000 a week being on the road headlining in Michigan or Indiana or whatever. Right. But
I'm
still
working.
Some shows coming.
The money is is out of the money's on the road.
Yeah, and by the way, I would love to never have to leave my home.
I
know. Never have to leave my dogs. Never have to leave my friends. And I get to just perform at my own club.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, people are going to perform every night. No. I'm going to do my Wild Wednesday show, which I love to do.
Right.
And I felt like it was, you know, my favorite thing. And then if I need to jump in and host or somebody doesn't show up or whatever, that's fine. But we're doing headliner weekends. So people that are legit headliners, they don't have to leave L.A. And they get the perks.
Oh, it's
going to
be so nice.
Such a huge chunk of the door. They're going to be like, what? But if they're headlining there, they can't advertise that they're at other clubs.
Of course.
Right.
But that's
and
just
that's
respectful.
Fair. And that's fair.
Yeah. I don't really recall when we met. But I do recall.
I think I do.
Oh, was it hot? Was it in the valley?
It was at the
Ha Ha.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
I wasn't sure
if it was Ha Ha or Laugh Factory.
And I was like, oh my God, you're hot. And I remember thinking, because I think a lot of comics are always like, oh, if you do comedy and you're a woman, you like, don't like wear makeup or jewelry or whatever.
Right.
And don't wear heels and don't wear tight fitting clothes. Yes.
I
think that's.
You don't want to look like a homeless woman getting up there.
Yes.
No offense to homeless people.
Exactly.
I mean,
if you're homeless and you're listening.
Please.
But we should dress how we are off stage. I'm a girly girl.
I'm a girly
so
girl
why,
too.
Yes, you are. And
why? Look, at our club, this is like Harry Basil says it best. And he is who owns, you know, Laugh Factory Reno.
Right.
And
Covina. The new one, Covina.
Yeah. And I think he says it
in
best.
Vegas.
In Vegas. People are spending a lot of money to come out and see you. This is your job. This is Vegas. We want it to be like glamorous.
They don't
want to
see you in jeans and a sweatshirt.
And a hoodie.
I would never go on
or
stage like that.
Pants.
Never.
I don't even leave my
so
house
many
like that.
Girl, so
I,
many.
It's so rude.
It is rude.
How
it's
about
swampy.
When a comic goes on like a Conan or a talk show and they're not wearing
they're
a suit.
They're dressed like a scrub.
And they're dressed like a scrub.
The only person that's allowed to get away with that and it still grosses me out is Adam Sandler.
But it's his brand.
It's his brand.
Right.
And I think
but
it's
still
okay.
I'm always like, God, does this
Swartzen
man
too.
But, I know.
Right.
But if you're like a scrub in real life and that's how you dress, you know, like if you're relaxed and that's just like your thing, but you were
there's
supposed to be our true
that.
Self. On
yeah.
Whereas that's supposed to be our truth, and I it wouldn't be my true self
I know.
If I
so
showed up in sweats
says,
and
you know put on a hoodie or put on a ski cap or whatever. I'm always like,
why?
Yeah,
why?
Ew, yeah,
I mean, Nick
like
Swartzen wears baggy shorts on stage, basketball, whatever it is. But he actually that's his, not only part of his brand. He makes jokes about it.
Well,
he does.
He might not be the best example to throw out. Right
he'll
now.
Say, I know him. He goes, I know I'm in my 40s, but I still dress like I'm 12. You know what I mean?
But going back to when we met, you had this little bar show. We met about 8 years ago.
I
had a little bar show called The Oyster House.
Yes. Yes, and I did your podcast.
Yes, at the comedy store. And then I think I invited you to do my, and I was actually really surprised you said yes, because it's like a bar.
It doesn't matter. I was so excited
to have you in the lineup, and I was a first-time producer, and I didn't really, you know, but I had a great relationship with these guys that
it's
owned
so
it.
Funny because
you brought a shit ton of people.
We were excited because we thought we were getting oysters.
Yes, so, hence Oyster House, and there was no oysters, and I felt so badly. I'm like, oh, sorry, we have french fries.
I didn't know you then.
A popcorn, like a stale popcorn machine.
Yeah. Right. I didn't know you then. But my friend lived around the corner from the Oyster House, and he would go there and play music all the time. And he's like, you know, they're doing comedy at the Oyster House. And I'm like, when am I ever in town? Because before pandemic, and I met Sarah during the pandemic, I was on the road 45 weeks a year. Like I was always on the road. That was my job. That's how I paid my bills. I was on the road. So I didn't do a lot of these.
So you didn't know about my show.
Well, I knew about it, but I didn't know it was yours. And I knew that they did comedy at the Oyster House because I played music there a couple of times.
You got really good comics to do.
But you got great.
And that's when I realized I liked producing as well as performing. I was like, I can do this. It's not hard because the other producers are so shitty.
Oh my God.
It's not hard
because
to stand
out. You're
not
a scuzzy guy that wants to like fuck the talent.
Yes,
that too. I mean, let's be fair. There's so many gross producers that are just, or they don't pay you.
Yes,
or
it was kind of easy to just,
you know, 2 a.m, what are you doing, and things like that.
And like want to write.
Yeah, want to write.
So I was running a room at Genghis Cohen.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yep.
Okay.
I came to that, remember?
You did, 100%.
Yep, I loved it.
Do you know how many, by the way, I want to get that show back
Big
up
Apple,
again. Big Apple Comedy,
yep,
yes.
I loved it.
Maybe we'll take it to Kookaburra.
Oh, that would be good.
Because that was all headliners. Yep. Those were all my friends for 35. You know, I had Wendy Liebman and Pablo Francisco. And
I had Wayne Fetterman.
Like, I was booking all my friends that I've known since I started doing stand-up in the
80s. That would be so amazing.
And I cannot tell you how many women, even like the two cold openers that I would use, like, you know, how many women said to me, thanks for putting me on your show and not telling me I had to do stuff with you in the backseat of your car to get on the show. People have literally said that to me.
Scummy.
People have said that. I'm like, what? Do people
feel like
do
those,
that?
Those producers are usually like so...
They're shitty comics.
Yep. I didn't want to say
Oh, that. I don't mind. They're
oh,
shitty
yeah,
comics.
No, they're not going anywhere.
And they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they use their show as a way... Because let's put it this way. If you're a comic, it's very easy to meet women if you're funny.
Yeah.
If you're funny. Mm-hmm. If you're not funny, you ain't meeting anybody. So if you're booking a show and you got to use the show to, you know, then you're just
I've
a disgusting
it.
Pig.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, here's the whole thing. Like at Kookaburra, we have my general manager is a woman.
Yes, Valerie.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I like her a lot.
20 plus years, 25 mm-hmm. years, or 30 years in the restaurant
Beautiful.
Industry.
She exudes experience.
Oh,
like she's
yeah,
like,
she,
like she exudes everything's going
to
be handled and in control.
She knows how to do everything.
Yes.
And then there's our assistant general manager and lead kitchen. She's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's French chef trained
Ooh.
And has a PhD.
Nice. Wait a minute.
Good find, Katie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I like that.
It's pretty much all women except for our lead bartender, which I am obsessed with him. And I was like, and his drinks are, I mean, you guys, we have, we teach her the Katie's Martini.
Really?
What is the Katie's Martini?
He named it that. It tastes like, first of all of our drinks, this is good to know. Not one of our drinks has anything fake in it. I refuse to have like soda gum.
No roses lime juice, only fresh lime juice.
Every single
I got gotcha. You.
Juice is fresh squeezed.
Right, gotta be.
Wonderful.
That is, got to be.
When a craft cocktail is served, you can tell.
Absolutely. You always know.
We're using Fever Tree for a lot of our drinks.
Fever Tree's great.
So Fever Tree's great.
Love them. Mm-hmm. And then for our like different flavors, it's all house made syrups with organic cane sugar.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, like
but
ginger.
No one's doing this. That no you are going to be the first.
Not a comedy club.
Establishment.
Selfishly, It's because I have really bad heartburn.
And you want to be able to drink your drinks. And you want to drink your drinks.
A real margarita is fresh lime juice. Okay. You've got...
So many people don't even know.
Most people don't know how to make a real margarita.
Yeah, fresh lime
And it actually has a splash of orange juice in it. In Mexico, they put a little splash of orange juice in your margarita.
Yeah.
I was a bartender in New York for years, and I always went off the menu and did it with... I wouldn't use roses. It was always a little simple syrup and fresh lime.
Yeah.
You know, like I always...
single thing we do. I mean, even
I love food, that
we have vegan options, and we're not doing it in an obnoxious way. We're like, this is vegan. Like, I love vegan people. I love all people, but you shouldn't have to go to a club and you're like, well, what do you have that doesn't have like fried meat? And they're like, well, we have French fries. And you're like, that's still fried
an animal.
And that's the other thing. We have two different fryers. I made sure we got two fryers. Mm-hmm. That one is just for like meat, chicken, things like that. And the other one is just for plant-based.
Right.
Wonderful.
Potatoes. So cauliflower, amazing. Potatoes, things anything like that.
Because it's not fair to, it's so gross, first of all, to mix it. And then second of all, we have so many plant-based options that one of our things I never tell people, they come and I go, try this. They'll eat it, dip it in the tartar sauce, freak out how good it is. It is a plant-based fish stick.
Oh, I'm coming over tomorrow.
Sea kelp,
and it's baked. It's not even fried.
Coming over tomorrow. I love fish sticks.
Tartar sauce.
Now, I was vegan for 7 years.
That sounds amazing.
True vegan. Yep. True vegan.
Yeah, this is why, I mean, there's even wines that are, you know.
Vegan wines.
Organic
because
and
some,
vegan.
Because some wines are finished.
Women-owned, women-made.
Egg
some
white.
Of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
It's not bad. It's part of the winemaking process. But vegan wine won't have any egg white wash in it. In the fining process of the wine.
And I heard some wines will do coloring in their wines because it's not regulated. And they'll like crush up those beetles that they put in your lipstick to make it a little bit more red and dense. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Not good
and
wine.
They'll add oak chips.
To fake the amount of time. It cuts down the amount of time you have to age the wine in the barrel.
We've met winemakers because we want to make a wine.
We're looking to make a wine.
We've met winemakers.
You guys would. By the way, I will pick your wine up. 100%.
It's going to be, by the way, just so you know, the name of the wine is comedy based, and it's going to be super opulent, really delicious, but the concept is really, really awesome, and I can't say the name right now. Yes.
It's a done deal.
We're making wine this year.
I'm so excited.
Seriously, I've got it. Yeah, it's happening.
It's a done deal.
It is happening.
Both your palates and both your personalities, I mean, I feel like that is just that will spark joy.
You know what? I have
to
say something. I have to say something. And I'm doing it on the air because I'm a man who can stand up and be him. You know, I own my good and I own my shit.
Yeah.
And to hear you say that just now really made me feel very special and very warm because I know where I met you.
Yeah.
And I know that the night we met, I got under your skin, and it wasn't on purpose.
Holy shit, that's so true.
But I know that, and I'm glad that's in the past.
God, I remember that.
Seriously. And
you get under a lot of people's skin, honey.
Well, I'm a New Yorker. I can't help myself.
I'm an upstate New Yorker from a foreign dad and an Italian mother, but she's a quiet Italian.
Right. No, I come from a loud Jewish family from Long Island, you know.
I mean, but New Yorkers are New Yorkers, and there's always that, it doesn't matter, that fucking gusto comes out. And I love that. That means you have passion for something. Mm. Instead of just being a fucking boring, going through life, just like, ho-hum, I'm content with everything, which is fine.
Some people.
I would literally be bored today.
But I'm You're really glad bored. That we are where we are.
Yeah.
Seriously. It really means a lot to me because I adore you. I adore your husband.
Yeah.
And just to be...
I know, he loves you.
And I really genuinely adore the both of you guys. And I'm glad that, you know, people say, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. And sometimes you need a second meeting with somebody, you know. And
I always
give... I agree with you.
Always.
Always.
They say, well, first impressions, it's like, well, maybe someone had a bad day
or you don't know.
Their car got stolen.
Right.
You don't know what happens in people's lives. And I'll never forget, this may sound very cheesy, but a lot of times, like, I'll read, like, Reader's Digest. I've just, ever since I was little, I always read it. So I love Reader's Digest.
And that's my favorite digest, by the way.
I think it's the only one.
The soap opera digest,
oh,
too.
Yeah, there's that too. But yeah, so they would always have like those like really sort of heartwarming stories in there.
They do.
And one of the stories was about how a person was very annoyed that this baby was crying. And it was like a nightmare and all this stuff. And I'll never forget, they were on an airplane. And then when the person was just like, ugh, so annoyed, and started talking to the woman who had the baby, she was saying, oh, you know, her husband had just died and they're flying home to bury his body.
Oh, oh my
and
God.
It was like, and that's when I, every time I fly now and I think about, oh my God, it makes me want to cry if I think about it.
You never
I think
know.
About how a person, how stressed out that mother is, that she is, like, she's concerned about everybody else. I mean, you know, most people, not in LA, if you have a crying baby, you're just like, oh my God,
you have a stupid baby.
Thing,
exactly.
Right. Like, if, you
have, if you have a crying baby, it's because you make
window.
Less than $250,000 a year.
No, you need a lot more than $250,000 to have a nanny in this town.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to make it whatever, you know.
That was like 20 years ago.
And was this the 80s?
Exactly. Sorry. If you have a crying baby in LA, it's because you're making less than 2.1.
Oh my God, that's
you know,
more like
now,
it.
I'm going to have to play you a last call.
Oh my God, that's so brilliant. That's so brilliant. That's so brilliant.
Can you even handle that?
That's so adorable. So I want to on. So what you just
do
heard
that on stage somehow.
So for the that's last call.
Okay.
So for the listeners, Katie just played us literally the kookaburra.
That's a real.
I never,
that's a real
I never
kookaburra
knew
sound.
The kookaburra.
And so you are
right
not only a wildly funny, wildly talented comedian. Not only are you an entrepreneur and you're opening your comedy club, but what a lot of people don't know about you, and I just learned last week when we were texting, is that you are also, and this really tugged at me because Sarah will tell you, I am
emotional.
I love people. I get very emotional. I'm a bleeding heart.
I'm a bleeding heart.
You know, my old school deadhead hippie. You are an animal activist and you sit on a board.
Yeah.
Of an animal rescue. Yeah. Can we talk about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, so I work with the Animal Rescue Mission. So they've been really, I mean, obviously LA is in a huge crisis right now.
Oh, yeah.
Every day they put down hundreds of dogs. Hundreds.
Right.
And then I see, you know, people posting their new dogs they've flown in from breeders in Ohio and Minnesota from puppy mills that they don't even realize are from there.
Right.
They just want a cute designer dog or a French bulldog. And they don't realize that every time you do that, dogs get put down here and they're living in like deplorable conditions. It is so horrendous. So I do everything I can to raise money, adopt, foster, share. I mean, I am a foster fail 5 times over, actually 6 times over, but they, you know, they've gone through the years and they're no longer with us. But I do that as well for Amigos de los Animales in Zihuatanejo in Mexico.
Really?
So on two, yeah, one in Mexico, one here.
I love
it's
it.
Just, you know, street dogs in Mexico.
They need
tough.
Help.
So there's another comedian.
Spay and neuter is my
right.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend Gary Cannon.
Oh my God, I love
and
him.
And Gary is also a big time dog.
He's
a dog
so much
rescuer.
For the dogs.
Oh and when God. I
he has like 15 dogs.
Oh
right.
And they all live in his
living wife
room.
Left him because of all the pets and that the
oh,
dogs
he can't
that he
keep
was
a
rescuing.
Relationship.
Yeah, he couldn't keep his what
he
couldn't
the dogs.
Keep his marriage together. You know. But Gary's a close friend. And
he's,
Sarah and I.
His wife really left him over the dogs.
Mm-hmm. He, true story. He was just always bringing more dogs home.
So what?
I know.
I don't.
It's really.
And?
Is he exaggerating? Did that really happen?
That really happened.
I mean, he says that. I mean,
I
he talks about it.
Gary's
on stage.
A good friend. Yeah. And Sarah
he's
and
very
I last year,
right?
We
so good.
Did
so good.
A benefit for an organization that a friend of hers works with. To raise
WUFA,
money.
Women United for Animal Welfare.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we would love to have
and
you involved
I,
the, in
when
the next
I said
one we
to
do.
You, well, what I said to Katie last week when we were texting was that we should do a show at the Kookaburra, but an adoption show and have pets. Like when people bring the pets to the supermarket, you can adopt the pet right there.
On the patio.
Have the pets right there. Oh, people come to the patio. Show. They can
like,
donate
you're gonna wanna do
and make it an adoption event as well.
So we already have something like that planned where it's like a big casino night.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's not real gambling, obviously.
Right.
I mean, that would be amazing if we could do that.
And illegal.
I know. And then there's my liquor license I never got yet.
What?
But no, we can do it when it's in the name of charity. So we want to do something really big with Animal Rescue Mission.
Right.
And there's Hair of the Dog Vodka wants to be part of it because part of the money from that, or I think almost all of it, goes to Animal Rescue. So every brand that we work with has a mission. Especially with, I mean, working with you, it's...
I have a brand.
Our pets are
Amarula.
Rescues. We rescued two cats.
Yes.
We rescued two cats last year. They're going to be...
what's their names?
Lucy and Ricky.
Oh, my God.
And they are Lucy and Ricky.
Lucy and Ricky.
Well, I mean, look at you two. If it isn't Lucy... By the way, have you been Lucy and Ricky for Halloween?
No.
Next year.
Okay.
We'll do Lucy.
Okay, so you know we're
Lucy
doing a big Halloween party.
When are you opening? This is important for everyone to hear because everyone needs to go to Kookaburra.
Yes.
Oh my God, you guys. So, well, I think we're hoping we get our acceptance for our conditional use permit, which is what activates our liquor license, in the next like couple of days. It's gotta be.
Okay.
And then it's a 15-day holding period. Fun, right?
Just right,
just,
like
you know,
just for giggles.
Just
like, it's
for
just
the fuck of it.
It's how the ABC works in California.
Like, hey, you know what's going to be fun? Just sit around for 2 weeks and pay some rent.
You're going to get some serious
and
stretch marks.
And you can't serve any alcohol.
I mean, I think I have like, do I have gray hairs yet?
No.
This fucking baby.
No, I like
how heavy could it be?
I was like,
get it out.
Yeah, like this demon baby.
Wow.
I always compare it to like, not, I mean, as a joke, obviously, I always go, you know, when presidents go into office, like for like, let's say Obama, for example, he was like super young and fit looking.
Yeah.
He had like super dark hair.
Oh, it ages.
And then cuts his end of his presidency. He's like, all white hair, defeated. Like, well.
He looked like George Washington
gaunt.
Carver at the end of his 8 years. Like, man, let me tell you something. I'm Johnny. I'm 48 now.
And he looks great again, by the way.
Because he's not president.
He got it back.
Oh my God, it really ages you.
He's looking fabulous.
It ages you. It's stressed. And honestly, it's like I do everything. I design the whole club. I had to get the furniture there.
You learned Mandarin.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you speak Mandarin.
So I just
to get the best price on the furniture. I just got, I'm so... like I was already infatuated, and when you told me this story, I'm like, oh my!
This is hilarious.
It blew my mind.
I mean, the manufacturing. And I actually flew to Hong Kong and then took a train into Guangzhou. And the funny thing,
my brother lived in Guangzhou for a while. I know not a lot of people know Guangzhou.
Yeah,
so
did
talk
you
about
know?
It's
okay. This is so crazy. So Guangzhou. I mean, I don't really think of it as like a really fun place to visit. But
was
like,
it a modern train or the kind of train where people are holding like chickens?
Well, let's just say never want to do it again.
Okay, not a modern train.
I'm so impressed you did this to get
I did this because I want to make sure that these are ethical factories, that there's like for real children.
Who does this? Are you all listening? Oh my God, I'm so impressed.
Me too.
Not
when you buy your cheap shit from China, just remember who made that.
Yeah, an 8-year-old for like a nickel.
No, but that's the thing. Is it forced labor? Like,
yes.
You don't know. And when people are like, well, it's better than them being on the street or being sexy.
No,
or whatever,
it's not.
Like,
it's worse.
Here's the thing. I do understand. No, there is a, I understand like a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old is going to work, okay? And they provide housing and healthcare and meals. And that is much better than being on the street in those countries. So I am for that, learning a trade, things like that. But when it becomes unethical, meaning, you know, 12 hours, no breaks, sitting on a milk crate.
That's indentured servitude. And they charge you for the food. And they charge you for the housing.
And
they take your passport. And then they pay you and then deduct the expenses from that.
That's all Dubai stuff.
You see, this is what a lot of people don't understand. Migrant farm workers who come across the border illegally looking for a better life. And they come to California. And a lot of people don't know that California supplies 60% of the nation's agriculture. 60% of the food you eat that's agricultural comes from the state of California. So these migrant workers come across the border illegally, looking for a better life. They want to make money. Money that they're not going to keep, by the way.
Yeah.
Money they're going to send back to Mexico.
And by the way, back-breaking work.
Back-breaking
but
work.
They're not stealing your job.
It's so you know, back-breaking.
Karen
yeah,
from
find
Herbert
me,
Westlake,
find me like, 5,000 white people who are going, what do you mean? I want to go pick grapes. You find me those people and I'll say then they stole
pick
your jobs.
I mean,
there's no white people out there.
There
that, right. So, but what
it's
happens is...
heat. I mean, it's like...
Right.
This, backbreaking.
But what happens is on these farms, these migrant farm workers come across the border to work. They're charged room and board. They're charged for their food.
And they live in
horrible mud huts. It's terrible.
So, running water, things like that.
The
yeah.
one thing they do give them a lot of is booze and cigarettes.
I know.
Yep.
But there are ethical farms too.
But
so
the ethical ones.
Like, you have to look at every single thing. Like,
right.
You know, so one of the things that we were doing when we were thinking about our menu is I was like, okay, well, I want to have, you know, this option and shrimp. But I was like, but I want the shrimp to be, you know, like,
not farmed.
Yeah, because guess what? Farm shrimp is done by like 12-year-old girls in the Philippines.
It's also
people
sits in its own feces.
Go to Red Lobster and all you can eat for $12.99.
Yeah, you know why?
You know why?
Yeah. You can't eat it.
And a lot of people are like, who gives a shit? Well, what am I going to change? It's like, well, don't go.
What? Right. Those are people who don't vote. Right there.
Supply,
those
yeah.
are people who don't vote. And they don't know about farmed fish and farmed shrimp. And it sits in their own feces and it develops disease. And they don't care.
Sores.
It sores.
And we're eating it.
And
oh,
they
yeah,
still
parasites.
Serve it.
Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. remember when that woman ate undercooked tilapia in Northern California?
Yes.
And she lost all her limbs.
Yes, she did.
Her arms and legs had to be
amputated.
No, I don't know this story.
Undercooked tilapia.
Well, tilapia is not good fish to eat.
Tilapia.
Right.
Yeah, but still. It's
but
like,
still.
People need to be, I think a lot of people now are really starting to understand like where our food comes from, what it took to get to your table.
We're getting more
where
educated.
Where did your drinks come from? Who mm-hmm. made that?
Right.
Why does it matter where your tequila comes from? I'm not just going to get some celebrity brand in there because so-and-so has a tequila. Mm-hmm. First of all.
They're not hands-on.
Yeah.
They're not involved.
I don't need some like 12-year-old white girl with her tequila brand from Calabasas, you know. Like,
thank
making
you.
Our, that's yes. First of all, if it's not from, you know, certain parts in Mexico, why would you trust that?
Right.
Like, this is we're going with. I mean, we're carrying a tequila brand called San Matias. It is a woman-owned and woman-distilled brand that has
love
been
it.
In their family for like 100-plus years.
That's like Nonino.
Yeah.
Oh, Nonino.
Yeah,
we're
Nonino.
Carrying
that's
yes.
like Nonino.
Yes.
Three generations.
Three generations of women.
And same with mezcal, too. A lot of times they say like the mezcal, the way that they make it, they have to use donkeys. And so they've automated that, but still using the stone that the donkey would pull. And so now it's like cruelty free. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what I want.
Right.
Every single thing has been thought out from like the nuts to the bolts in the club.
I
and
respect
I think that,
that
like people are like, well, who's going to know? And I'll never forget when we were putting the guns in, right? The soda guns for the well
mm-hmm.
where you get your drinks. And they're like, oh, you're going to do like cranberry and tonic and all that. And I was like, oh, no, I would never have box tonic. There's no quinine and it's not real tonic. Like,
you need quinine
yeah.
and tonic water.
And they're
water.
Like, but who cares? And I'm like, what do you mean who cares? Look around. I care.
Yes.
Right.
I'm not going to drink it myself. Why
I'm not serving it. Thank you
yep.
very much.
You flew
much.
To Hong Kong and took a train to Guangzhou.
I was in a bus accident with only Chinese people who,
are
by the
you?
Way, they don't single file line. They panic and all go to the front and trample you. And I was like sitting on this bus. I'm with
oh
a
my
friend of mine,
God.
Freaking out. And I was like, oh my God, we're in a bus accident.
And you
in
don't
China.
Know Mandarin yet.
Not enough.
Yeah.
I just knew like, where's McDonald's? You know?
Right.
Like,
important to learn,
yeah,
by
like,
the way. That's a good one.
Now. I'm hungry for McDonald's. And like, and that's the thing. They don't even say McDonald's. Like any other country you go to, they call it McDonald's
you
or
can,
McDonald's.
It's a universal language.
Oh no, they don't call it that in China. They call it my Dung Lao. So if you go there and you ask where McDonald's is, they'll just ignore you. And so you have to ask for my Dung Lao. And
my
go,
Dung Lao.
Yeah, my Dung Lao. Ping Bi Zhou means ice cold beer. I mean, it's like, I just knew the basics.
Right.
Beer, McDonald's.
I would just say, I would just look at him and go, Ching Dao?
So you're on a bus.
Ching Dao?
Ching Dao.
Ching Dao?
Isn't it?
That's the beer.
That's the beer.
It's, Qingdao is, it's D, I think it's not.
It's a T-A-O, but I was taught by a Chinese person in New York.
Qingdao, I think it's
Qingdao. Qingdao.
Yeah, so it's, Chinese is really hard. I mean, right. I've been learning Russian because my husband's Russian. And that is, like, I can always be like, oh, ya pinimayu, minya zovut Katie. Like, my Russian is, like, really, really on point. But Chinese... Forget about it.
It is so hard.
As hard as English is.
But finish the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
As hard as English is.
Chinese, they say, is the... I mean, it's got over 600 Chinese, characters to learn.
Oh,
and,
It's, but then again, think about it. When my dad was learning...
just empty it in your glass.
When my dad was learning English, he would watch Sesame Street with us. So... My dad has a really heavy French accent, which everyone thinks is, like, hilarious and charming. And he's really, like, now
he plays it up.
Well, I mean, he really has a French accent. But now he knows, like, he's like, I have a cooking show. You want to watch my cooking show? It's called Papa's Cooking Show.
Right. Fantastic.
And we wrote a song for him, Walter and I. And, you know, it's like, yeah, something in Africa grew up in France. He likes to cook without his pants. He drinks wine and everything he knows. It's Papa's cooking show.
Fantastic.
It's like, c'est bon. And so,
c'est bon.
That's catchy. I totally see that.
And where does he live now?
So both my parents actually still live in New
York. They're still upstate?
Yeah, upstate New York. We're from a prison town, actually. But it's called Elmira.
It's Elmira.
It's like Escape from Dannemora.
I performed in Elmira.
Exciting.
Where?
Roger Paul booked me on a gig up in Elmira.
Elmira College or like the Clemens Center
It was a resort. I want to say it was a resort.
In Elmira? Well, there's two prisons.
Right.
And we just got a TJ Maxx. Right. So I doubt it was a
resort. It wasn't a resort. I just remember being up there doing Don't Pick Up Any Hitchhiker Jokes.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, you definitely don't want to because it's all prisons.
Right.
Anybody that's doing this is going to do
this. Yes, they're going to do this. For those of you listening, Katie just dragged a knife across her neck.
That will be our next teaser. But going back to the bus, shutting down, and you don't speak the language, and how did you get out of that situation?
So you
weren't by yourself.
I brought a friend with me who was in the beauty industry because there was also a beauty convention going on at that time, and I was just coming out of the nail world, so it's like...
Yes, you had your own nail business.
I had a nail business for like 15 years.
Hence, prolific entrepreneur. That was
your own show.
Yes.
Called Nail Files.
Yes, very successful.
You can still watch it. I think it's on like Amazon or Hulu.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows that show.
And you were doing this while you were doing stand-up.
No, so I took a break. When I first moved to L.A., I had won a competition, okay? And I came out to L.A. It was kind of funny. So I was at University of Kentucky. I went there to cheer. Ended up being a wildcat dancer. From New York to Kentucky, not the funnest, I will say. It is a wow.
Were you in Lexington?
Talk about
Well, at least you had the comedy caravan.
No. That wasn't for me. I was only 18.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't do anything. So I had a fake ID, and I would go to comedy off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, comedy off Broadway.
Sure.
I don't know, something like that. And so they had a competition. They're like, okay, tell a joke, and you get a free pitcher of beer for your friends. And all my friends were like, you're so funny, you should get up there. And I always wanted to do comedy, so I was like, I'm going to do it. And I took my fake ID and
said, I love her face.
1977, I put a 2, you know, so I was like way older. Still wearing crop tops, you know. And I told my joke, and I was like super charismatic to the audience, and everyone liked it. And I was like, oh my God. So the club owner was like, hey, do you want to come back next week? And I'll just give you some time. And I was like, yes. And it just took off. And there was an agent actually sitting in the audience named Janie Head, who owned Images Modeling and Talent Agency. She saw me and said, you should come with us to Los Angeles for this big competition. And so I got all my headshots done and all the shit. And I packed everything up. And I came out here and I stayed at the, what was the hotel where they filmed True Lies? Remember the elevators on
yes, the
side?
Yes, the Bonaventure Hotel downtown.
The St. Bonaventure or whatever.
I know it well.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed there, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're in Hollywood. And it was like a week-long competition where they're weeding people out. Katie Holmes was in it. A bunch of people who weren't even really famous at the time.
Yeah.
And so they were all in it. And
trying
then it came
to make
up,
it.
Trying to make it. Came up to the comedy thing, and then I got into the semifinals. I won, like, the commercial division. And then for the stand-up thing, I remember being so nervous, and I went to a payphone, and I called my dad. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. Because I think like Rosie O'Donnell was there or something.
Oh my God.
And I'm going, I can't do it. I'm
competing
nervous.
Or as a
competing
judge?
Competing against like thousands of
oh
people.
Oh my God.
To like win.
Wow.
And you win like $2,000 or something. But you have to pay to go and pay for the trip.
I believe Rosie would be in that already.
I think it was Rosie or somebody like that.
Probably.
And,
maybe she needed maybe she needed.
Might have been Paula.
Extra.
Rosie was already rich and famous by like the 1990.
Well, no.
You always need to reinvent yourself.
You
though,
do.
Right.
You know?
Plus, she was an advocate for like talent and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was some like butchy comment. Anyways, I mean, people
either
can mistake
Paula.
Me as butchy.
Could have been Rosie. No, you are not butchy.
I ride a motorcycle and play
so
a softball
not
team,
butchy.
And
but
I'm a
you,
female comic.
But you are not butchy.
So I have an extensive blazer collection and sneakers.
Lipstick lesbian. No.
Yeah, I'm more of that. So my dad called him and he was like, Gatti, you I pay this money, you get out there and you you know, you move your ass or something like that. And I was like, what? Okay. So I hung up and I remember going out there and I made fun of my dad on stage and everybody loved it. I ended up winning. I got signed. And then I packed all my shit and I moved out here. And then
I had
to try out at the Comedy Store. And then Mitzi gave me the belly room. And I had Andy Kozel ran the door for me. We had a cigar box. We were allowed to keep the cash from our show. In the
nice.
Belly room. And this was before the redo of the belly room. So
right.
It was a shithole.
Oh,
and,
I love the old belly.
But it was fun. It was called Katie-oke. And so what people would do is they would come up and do comedy, all the comics. Because they'd be roaming around like Main Room, OR.
Right.
They'd come up. Like Andrew Dice Clay, whoever, they'd have to do their set, you know, 12 minutes or whatever, and then they got to pick a song to sing. And they would sing a song.
I love that.
People used to get fucked up. They would drop their pants, and like, it was crazy.
Love it.
And then I went from there to Dublin's. Ahmed Ahmed put me up.
Yeah.
And then the Laugh Factory. And then I took a break for reality TV.
Okay.
After 10
good
years,
choice
back.
Because that really, you know, that was a really smart choice.
Remember,
I mean,
Dublin's?
Really,
man,
Dublin's. That's where
Dublin's.
I remember going in there and I looked at Ahmed Ahmed and Jay Davis and they will tell you the story. And I was like, I want to be a comic. And they're like, so does everybody else. I'm like, no, but I am good.
You're good.
Just give me like
you're
5 minutes.
Good. You're good enough where you can take
Dublin's
a break.
Dublin's was packed every week. Do you know that before it was Dublin's? The restaurant was called Carlos and Charlie's. And that room upstairs was the Joan Rivers Comedy Room.
Wait, what?
Yep. It was the Joan Rivers Comedy Room when I started before
it's so
Dublin's
sad what
took
they
it
did
over.
To that place.
I know.
It's just an 80s hell Miami.
It's terrible now.
What even is it?
They made it offices and then
there?
Yeah, right. It's ridiculous.
Do you remember walking around Sunset Boulevard like 99, 2000, 2001? And it was Friday and Saturday nights. The boulevard was slammed because nobody had cell phones.
Of course.
So you would just have to go.
You'd walk up and down Sunset Boulevard. We used to cruise Sunset Boulevard on the strip. When I was in high school, we would cruise Sunset Boulevard from like the Comedy Store all the way up to Doheny where Gil Turner's is.
And you would turn around
and you'd turn
back.
Around and come back.
Yeah,
and we'd be screaming out car windows, hey girls, what's your name? Where are you going? Like, that's what you did.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I miss
hey
those
girls.
Days. Hey girls. I miss those days. That's why when everyone's like, why didn't you open a club on Sunset Boulevard or whatever? I'm like, I'm on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm in the
you're
Times
actually in
Square
a place where people go. Yeah, you're at Hollywood and Highland.
People a month walk through there. A million.
Maybe
a
we
month.
Will open
so
a wine
here
bar there.
You are.
Well,
like
in many spaces, and when you see the deals that we can rock out there
in the epicenter,
we'll talk about this because I have a real concept. I'm,
I
the
know,
whole thing
of Hollywood. I mean, this is, you know, you are touching Dolby Theater.
For I was about to say,
you are adjoined
for people listening,
the Dolby,
that you are where the Academy Awards happen.
Yeah, so it's been so fun this week with that. Oh my God.
I bet. Can't even get in.
We're trying to crane in our hot water heater because it has to go on the roof of the building. So we had to get a crane. And we have to get a permit, but it takes 4 weeks to get the permit.
For the crane.
And so the crane got approved for us to put this like hot water heater boiler on the roof, but it's this week. And the loading docks are all completely taken because of the Oscars.
Right.
So my health inspection is now postponed because they have to put the hot water in because we need hot water to pass health. It is, like I told you.
I don't know how you're sleep. How do you sleep?
Look at my face.
You look amazing.
I mean, it
you
is managed just,
to look,
I mean, I don't know I if mean, it's this ring light, but like and, it is.
And you're performing comedy. I see you're doing shows.
Still
you're out,
shows.
You're, you know, and you're booking talent for the opening for Kookaburra.
Oh my God, the and Netflix you're, is a joke.
Netflix, that's I've huge. Congratulations.
20 shows. I booked 20
all Netflix shows.
So, all for Netflix.
Really?
So are we, do we have an idea of timeline of opening just so we can kind of give a general?
We want to be there.
Okay, we're going to soft open probably the end of the month.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to start operating. We're open from noon until 2 a.m. because we're open at noon because we have brunch and lunch and soups and salads and the most beautiful patio that overlooks just all the glory of Hollywood.
It's gorgeous.
It's really
it's gorgeous.
So it's just the bar and the patio are open during the day. And then it will close for like half an hour for cleanup, all of that. And then we get ready for shows.
Phenomenal.
Two shows a night.
Is it going to be comedy 7 nights a week? Or there's going to be music sprinkled in it? Because I want to bring my band in and play.
I know, right?
So seriously.
Obviously, I'm married to a musician, which he just got a certificate today from the Guinness Book of World Records for All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Congratulations.
Oh, good, because that's a thorn in his side, he was telling me.
And he got into the Library of Congress. He is now officially, his song is in the Library of Congress.
That's fantastic.
He co-wrote and co-produced with Mariah Carey.
Congratulations. Can we say
that's
his
huge.
Name? Is it okay
oh, yeah,
if I was Walter? I was about to say
Walter
it.
Walter A, baby.
Walter A, baby. Congratulations,
he's so
Walter.
Nice. I know he's
we
such
love
a great
him.
Guy. We've been together 19
he's so
years.
Supportive. He looks at you like in the hearts. It's like an animated cartoon, and they like just kind of
they
bounce
do
out
that
of
thing.
His eyes.
Like, boingy,
boingy,
and you call
boingy,
him Duty.
Boingy.
It's,
Duty.
It's
yeah,
so
yes.
cute.
Well, because he's a dude, not because he's shitty.
Yeah, right, we know that. Duty. But it's still, it's adorable,
you know,
you guys.
He's my man friend, and he is like,
you're
it's so funny. We've been
you're
together
so
for,
in love.
It's crazy. We met and like, We've been together almost 20 years, and everyone said it would never last because we're 20 years apart. And they're like, oh, the age will make a difference. And it's like, not if you're young at heart. Like
that's the
yes,
thing.
Yes, that's
you know?
It. And you're yep. made for one another. It's really,
I mean,
it's
here's
so...
the thing. I think men mature way, 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 way later.
Oh, yeah.
Way later.
That's for sure.
I'm still waiting.
Are you there yet?
I don't know. I'm still
not.
Waiting.
I'm waiting.
I know. So it's like, you know, you think about it and you're like, you know, I can't imagine being with a guy my age. I see how they act, especially in this town. They're all like Peter Pan. So I'm like,
yeah, yes.
I mean, I have friends that still live in studio apartments with like another roommate.
And right.
Like,
and
couch surfing.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I haven't had a roommate in years and years, but still, you know, I am very young at heart. Like, I still do everything. There's nothing I don't do today that I couldn't do in high school. I ski, I ride my mountain bike. Like, I still do
That's,
everything.
He is really youthful. I like that.
The only thing I can't do anymore is I probably can't do a standing back tuck.
Right.
But I can still do a standing back handspring. I can still, like,
really?
Do true. I mean, like, look at this, look at this.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
well,
are you getting this? That's and
that's
our
insane.
Third teaser.
<There's> a...
yes.
I mean, let's go, Kentucky!
Woo! Yay, KT. That's pretty amazing.
I mean, right?
That
now,
is
now
very
let me,
cool.
Let's go.
go.
Oh wait, and you do, and you work out. She gets up and
she does Pilates. She gets up. She goes to the gym. We
my
both
alarm
go
is
to
11 every morning.
Oh, you're
by
so
the way, we've
lucky.
Been doing
I'm
this
not allowed to sleep that late.
You had a an alert that says your bedtime reminder is 10 p.m. I'm like 10 p.m. I was literally okay. So I was getting all my
this
polo shirts.
This is late
shirts,
for me.
All my polo shirts for my staff. They were so expensive here. And I was like, well, I wonder if my manufacturer can help me out. So I was texting with them last night. I approved my final approval last night. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
Okay.
3:30.
At 5:08 a.m.
So you were getting up or you hadn't gone to bed yet?
No, I haven't gone to bed yet.
Wow.
Oh, I don't go to bed. I own a club.
So when
do
you go to bed?
Oh, by the way, Sunday Night Jazz. Sunday Night Jazz, we're doing it. We got the most incredible. His name is Sam Hirsch. His jazz band will knock your socks off. So we're going to do Sunday Night Jazz.
Really?
8 o'clock.
I love it. I
we're
just
so
said
there.
Yesterday, I go, we need to go to the Baked Potato. Like, I play jazz.
There
I
aren't
a
lot of places
like,
for
that
jazz.
That's my first love is jazz. That's
okay.
So,
there is very few places in L.A., or some that claim they are, but then there's sound systems. You're like, ooh, it's muffly, or it's not done. The amount of
and dirty.
Heart and soul and money that has been poured into the sound and lighting at this club.
Your sound is incredible.
Below
everyone
your mind.
Agreed.
Incredible.
Everyone needs to go to Kookaburra.
Yes.
And the address.
Okay,
the
address is 6801 Hollywood Boulevard. We're on the fourth floor. And we're at the Kookaburra Lounge on Instagram, Facebook, or thekookaburralounge.com. All you have to do is Google what's the national bird of Australia.
And I have nothing about Australia.
I just love the laughing bird.
And now it's like a new Google.
And if you're in LA, 6801 Hollywood Boulevard is...
It's basically where
the Hollywood and Highland is. It's where the Dolby Theater is.
Where the Oscars is this weekend.
And the parking is easy.
I don't know when this is coming out, but I will say this. I am in Reno at the Silver Legacy at the Laugh Factory from March 28th through the 31st.
It's coming out
before then. It'll come out before then.
Oh, yeah.
So people will hear you. So go see Katie.
Reno is fun.
Yes.
Reno is fun.
And they'll be skiing.
Those casinos are
awesome. And they'll be skiing up there.
I'm not going to risk my life, but yeah. Have you seen it? It's like the Donner Pass up.
But you're going on the road in Reno. That's amazing.
So you'll be at the Silver Legacy.
Be at the Silver Legacy. I'm doing 8 shows. I'm taking Crystal Marie with me.
Oh, that'll be fun. She's great.
Very funny.
She's great.
Yep. And then I'm also going to be with Bill Dawes, who kind of
very
like,
funny.
Very
He's
funny.
A friend.
Love him. Yep. He's a very good actor. He's in a lot of stuff.
He is an excellent actor.
Excellent actor. He's on the new series, Mo. He's on the third
season. Right. That's Mo and Mary's show.
Yeah, Mo and Mary. He's, right. He's on
and
the
I love
series
Mo.
Regular. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he's also on Taylor Sheridan's show on 1908 or one of those.
1923?
Yeah.
I watch all of those.
Yeah, he's on
I wondered because he was
he plays, like, a
on his Instagram.
Redneck,
he
reads.
Well.
He looks like one, but he's not. He looks like he really does play a great racist.
So Bill Dawes, fantastic.
So we'll be there, and then at the same weekend, Jay Leno, Adam Carolla are going to be there because they are premiering Adam Carolla's car collection. He owns all Paul Newman's racing cars, and so they're going to put them at the museum. And so hopefully we'll get them to sneak down and do comedy with us.
And how do people find
you
personally?
I bet that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
You learned Mandarin. You can absolutely get Jay Leno to come down and...
Shay Shay. That's all I know. And I'm going to Shay Shay. That's all I know. Shay Shay. So how do people find you personally?
Okay, so I would love to have new friends on the internet. And I am... You can just search my name, Katie Cazorla. KATIECAZORLA. Cazorla. And it comes up everywhere. I'm pretty, like, I can't hide. I could never have an OnlyFans or disappear off the face of the earth. Because
there's no more privacy.
No, you can run for president.
There's no way. I'm not escaping. I'm very easy to find. So, yeah. And then that way, sometimes I'll give, like, last-minute deals for tickets or things like that. And the club is so beautiful. And I just really want everyone to come and enjoy what a real, just solid, cared-for, thoughtful, comic-friendly, customer-friendly club.
Clean.
It's... Beautiful.
Meticulous.
Duct tape on the seats.
You can eat off
beautiful.
The floor.
You actually could eat off the floor. We spent a lot of money on that floor.
And the comics are so respected. No,
yeah.
You're not going to have silverware
you
can't
no
hear the clinkety clank.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Not only that, but like even some of our drinks are fantastic. I cannot wait for you guys to try the drinks. And the other thing is during Netflix is a Joke, we have some of the most incredible lineups from Adam Carolla and friends, Lisa Ann Walter, Emmy winner from Abbott Elementary, just got her own show. We're announcing it tomorrow.
Yay.
So the whole Leah Ruddick, who's huge on social
Leah's
media,
wonderful.
Privileged white woman, her thing that she does on TikTok.
Yes, so funny.
Privileged white woman, I die.
Everybody and watch then, it, yes.
Let's see, Late for Work is going to be there.
Right, I just saw that today, actually.
Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane are doing
I love them both.
Would You Date Him, where it's like a dating show that they do live with comedy. Oh, my God. Chris Titus, it's the first time he's doing comedy in L.A. and forever. He never does comedy.
Yeah,
here.
He doesn't.
A lot of, you know, there's a lot of beef with comedy club owners just because of old history and old past and bad blood.
Yeah,
and I just
political.
Feel like, you know, I keep my eye on the prize and I have blinders on and I don't care who doesn't like somebody who don't, like, this is for everyone.
Right.
It's a fresh slate.
It really is. You know, this is a professional job. If you don't like somebody, then don't come because I'll pull your slot.
Or just shut up when you're in the green room.
Yeah.
But this is...
Oh, we actually have a neon sign that says shut the fuck up. So it's... Our thing is don't come in here and bring drama. This is a place of joy.
Right.
And this is my whole life and my dream for everyone.
Love it.
So don't be the person that comes in and ruins it because you'll get the door, bitch.
Everything about it. Katie Cazorla, thank you so very much for being on the show.
We
will see you at Kookaburra Lounge.
The Kookaburra.
Kookaburra.
Hold on. I'm toasting.
Thank you,
I'm toasting to the Kookaburra. I can't wait to go. Can't wait to be on stage.
Thank you, Riedel Glassware. Even though we're drinking, we're not drinking.
We have to always do our thank yous at the end of the show. We thank Riedel for supplying us with glasses for the show.
Yep.
And we
San Benedetto water,
which we're not drinking tonight.
We meant to pull it out. The best water in the world.
Yes,
very good water.
And Pretty Easy Podcasts.
Thank you, Pretty Easy Podcasts.
Thank you, Pretty Easy Podcasts. And thank you to the Kookaburra Lounge.
Yes, thank you.
Because we're going to be doing, we may actually wind up moving there. We're not sure, but it's a possibility that
they're going to move there.
We could be broadcasting this show live, and we might get out of the dungeon.
And see Katie.
And we might be at the Kookaburra Lounge.
See Katie at the Kookaburra, as well as Reno. And the dates one more time?
Dates are March 28th through the 31st in the Silver Legacy in Reno, Nevada.
And the Laugh Factory.
The Laugh Factory. And then we will be opening hopefully in April sometime. But if you're in LA, May 2nd through the 12th, Netflix Is a Joke at the Kookaburra. Come and see us.
Well, we definitely will be there. And yes. I'm Sarah Halstead at Sarah Halstead on all socials. Please come see us at Bottle Shot Comedy at the Hollywood Improv.
And I'm Rich Chasler at Rich Chasler on all my socials, and I'll be on Bottle Shock on the 28th.
Yeah, on the 28th
at another
March,
comedy
the next show.
Club.
Yes,
so
exactly. Another comedy club.
I might stop by.
For now.
And thank you for listening and for being so awesome, and we love you.
And always remember, if you want to reach out to us, if you have any wine suggestions or any feedback or anything, you can always email us at drinkingduringbusinesshours@gmail.com.
And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks. Until